Welcome to Morning Invest on this Wednesday, November 17th. Coming up on the show, Janet Yellen sends a warning to Congress. Hey, you better fix this debt ceiling problem, and I'm giving you a new date by which to do it. We'll tell you about that new date. We'll also tell you about how they're rebranding the stimulus to tackle inflation, and stimulus checks could be coming to a mailbox near you starting this week. We'll tell you where.
And a new book exposes lies behind Boeing and their supply chain and known issues that has actually resulted in lost lives. We're going to tell you a little bit about it, and I'm probably going to buy that book and get really scared about life again.
No, this is an amazing, amazing piece by Peter Robinson over at Bloomberg, and they've done some amazing reporting on this, and Boeing is has a lot to answer for on this. Wait till we get into this story. It's really shocking. And you may want to question, like, if you've got this in your 401k, we'll talk about that. Like, hey, is this something that you want to consciously be investing in, knowing what this company did? So we'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about the Vatican stealing millions of euros in order to go on a spending spree to buy real estate. They were supposed to give this money to the poor. Turns out they didn't do that. Now there's a major trial happening in the Vatican, so we're going to dive deep into that.
I'm also going to tell you about the palm oil story that I skipped out on yesterday. Yeah, I went and left here yesterday. But I do want to talk about palm oil because I think that all of us can make better choices in our consumer purchases. And this is something that keeps me up at night. But if we can all make better choices, maybe we can sleep a little better.
Yeah.
We're going to do that. And what's trending?
Like this guy. He's sleeping great. Grover's sleeping totally great.
There's no palm oil in his food either.
Exactly. All right. Morning Invest starts right now. And top of the muffin to all of you on this Wednesday. By the way, we should mention before we dive into the news, we have a daily morning newsletter, which is I've heard it, by the way. I don't know if you know, it's won awards. It's the best morning newsletter you will ever receive because it makes you totally informed. You can read it in about 10 minutes over your cup of coffee. You're going to laugh. You're going to cry. And you're going to be just, you're going to be the talk of the town. Like, you're going to be walking around your neighborhood and people are going to be like, man, why is Janice so smart all of a sudden?
Janice, why does she know everything?
Why does Janice know everything?
Why is Karen not a Karen today?
Why is Janice not a Karen? It's because she reads the Morning Invest newsletter by going to morninginvest.com and signing up. It's totally free. We put a lot of work into it every morning so you can be more informed. Be a Janice, not a Karen.
Or a factoid.
A factoid, yes. Isn't this the fifth year in a row it's been number one on J.D. Power and Associates or something
like that? Yeah, exactly. It's won Auto Trend Magazine's newsletter of the year.
It's less than 2 years old, but yes,
we just keep reaping. You know, it's on the Inc. 5000 for businesses.
Good for us.
I mean, this thing is, I'm telling you what, amazing. If you're not a subscriber of the newsletter, you're missing out, kids.
You know, my mother reminds my daughter that my nickname when I was younger was Factoid because I used to read a lot and then just regurgitate facts to people who did not want to hear it. Regurgitate facts.
You know what?
And so you read our newsletter, you too can be a Factoid.
Exactly. And you can
What are you trying to say, David?
I'm trying to say, like, I think you embody, like, when you watched Harry Potter and saw Hermione Granger, you were probably like, oh my gosh, that's me.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
That's her.
There was once this meme online where you put, like, which fictitious characters embody you the most. And you had to pick three. Do you remember this? It was about 4 years ago.
Yeah, it was like on Instagram or something.
Yeah, and so I picked Hermione Granger and Diane Keaton from Working Moms. What was that movie? And Catelyn Stark. I feel like I am those three ladies.
I picked Fox Baby Mulder.
Boom. Baby Boom.
I picked Fox Mulder, Keanu Reeves, and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You did not. Fox Mulder you picked, and I think it was Larry David.
Yes, Larry David and Fox Mulder. Like, it was like, that sums me up perfectly.
You're so weird.
All right. Hey, let's get to the news, shall we? Let's talk about the debt ceiling stimulus, the whole shebang. Take a drink of coffee or tea if you'd like.
It's just hot water.
Janet Yellen yesterday came out and warned Congress that, look, you guys better figure this out, this debt ceiling, because we are up against a wall of epic proportions. Now, you'll remember, of course, back in, what was it, September, Mitch McConnell basically, I guess, threw 11 of his Republican colleagues under the bus by saying, hey, just go and vote for this thing. Just go and let's kick it down the can. Let's kick the can down the street a little bit. So they were able to go along with Democrats and they were able to pass a debt ceiling extension through December. Well, here we are. We knew this was coming up. Why they just do these like little 3 months delays, I don't know. So now they've kicked this can down the alley.
Idioms are not our thing today. We can't get any of them out. So let's just not do them. No more.
Where do you kick a can?
You kick the can down the.
The road, right?
Most kids are in the backyard. Let's just not.
We're wasting our time. Okay, so what they're doing is procrastination.
Yeah, they're doing procrastination nation. So Janet Yellen comes out yesterday and says, hey, Congress, get your crap together. We've got a new deadline. It is now December 15th. She issued a warning, by the way. She said, and I'll read exactly from her statement. She said, yesterday the president signed the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, which appropriates $118 billion for the Highway Trust Fund. These funds must be transferred to the Highway Trust Fund within 1 month after the enactment of the legislation, and the transfer will be completed on December 15th. Promptly thereafter, the funds will be invested in non-marketable treasured or securities subject to the debt limit. Basically saying, hey, we just passed this thing. We're going to default on our own bill that we just passed, essentially.
Yes.
Money that's going to the highways. So we're all excited about the President Biden $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill.
And she's like, we can't afford that with the current economic rules.
Right. So you need to change the rules fast.
This is just comical. It's like one side, I'm going to try an idiom. The right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing.
Exactly. Yes.
Nailed that one.
Janice doesn't know what Karen is doing.
Yes, it is crazy town. But she has been saying it all along. She's basically begging, hyperventilating over there, saying we need a permanent solution. And Congress is pretending she's not even speaking words. They're like, yeah, we're going to get to that. Our own agenda to get reelected. This is what we want. But
Mitch McConnell has no intention. Mitch McConnell, the Republican minority leader, has no intention of going along with Democrats wanting to increase the debt ceiling. He is going to once again pretend that he had nothing to do with it, which is what happened last time.
Yes.
You know, we can't in good conscience raise the debt ceiling as if we didn't have anything to do with it. Remember, raising the debt ceiling is to pay debt obligations that were incurred when he was the majority leader of the Senate and President Trump was president of the United States.
Yes.
So these debt obligations were already figured out. They were already...
they were obligated.
Obligated.
It's as if you bought a house together as a couple, you and President Trump, Mitch McConnell, you signed the mortgage, right? And then you come along now, you're no longer in power, and you're like, I don't want to pay that mortgage payment. But you agreed to it then.
Yeah, you mean we can't do that? We can't just not pay our mortgage?
If you're not in power, oh, we're not in power anymore. Let's pretend that mortgage is not in my name.
Like, David, you don't have to pay your car payment anymore. Like, you don't, don't even worry about it, right?
Thank you.
That's the way, that's the way government operates. Why can't we operate that way, right?
Well, the thing is, but they don't listen to 80% of their constituency when they have a majority of their constituency that's like, hey, we want this. Yellen's not a donor, so.
Right.
She's not. But again, she has been warning doom and gloom all basically through since the spring because she's seen this coming. And what's irresponsible, I'm going to say, in my opinion, is to continue to pretend that these things exist in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. So there's social stimulus, there's human stimulus, there's debt, and we just keep like going around the horn, dealing with one thing at a time and not at all dealing with them holistically. And the point, David, you always make is that we're also spending millions on, war and bombing and all, and none of those things get debated. Those just like, yeah, we sign that, we pay for that. It's the stuff on top for some reason. The cream that rises, the things that we actually debate upon are things that they just want us to see. There's so much that they don't want us to see. And we pretend that it's not a connected system.
Yeah, and Democrats right now are looking towards trying to get this other stimulus package out amidst this entire mess right now. So the $1.7 trillion Build Back Better plan is being rebranded this morning. So this is all part of this debt ceiling stuff, because you've got the debt ceiling thing that they need to deal with immediately, as Janet Yellen warns Congress about that. But then they're also trying to pass this Build Back Better plan, but they're also facing massive inflation. So Democrats right now are on a bit of a PR move. And so the move of the morning from Chuck Schumer is that they are now basically saying, hey, if you want to get rid of inflation, if you want to get rid of inflation, want to fight inflation, then support the Build Back Better plan. That's their new moniker that they've come up with yesterday. This is, you know, look, we're going to tackle this. We saw this yesterday, actually, with Pete Buttigieg, who's the transportation secretary. He was out doing an interview on the White House lawn. And he said, look, this first round of stimulus, this $1.2 trillion stimulus plan, is already tackling inflation, which I still can't wrap my head around exactly how that's happening. Like, how is building roads and bridges, and by the way, again, you just passed it.
Yeah, no,
like, how does it tackle inflation?
Maybe through trickle-down economics, which they don't like.
But it doesn't work any. Well, first of all, we know trickle-down economics don't work.
And it's a talking point that the Democratic Party likes to speak against.
But how does it lower prices?
Well, what I was going to say. It's that, like, they say these things arbitrarily and get people, oh, it's going to lower this, it's going to lower that. Oh, I'm in. And then the people get out there and they argue on Twitter and they push this bill. And then once it's passed, they're like, oh, well, it didn't do that. Sorry, we were just saying that.
How is it going to lower? Lowering prescription drug prices, I get that, but that has nothing to do with inflation, right? Prescription
also,
drug
that's
prices
not
are
in the infrastructure plan. That's in the human stimulus plan.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So that's what they're saying is we had some of that already. Pete Buttigieg said yesterday we had some of this inflation lowering moves yesterday, thanks to the infrastructure
plan. Right?
And now we need more of it. Because we're going to be able to lower prescription drugs, we're going to lower childcare costs, overall expenses related to raising families. Now, I get you're going to be giving checks out to families, right? You're going to be giving $3,600 checks to families as part of the family tax credit. But that doesn't lower inflation, okay?
Also, let's be clear. Prescription drugs have nothing to do with supply and demand economics.
Exactly. They're artificially raised prices because Pfizer wants to rip people off.
Yes.
So it has nothing to do with inflation.
There's nothing sensical in that. We shouldn't even be discussing it. This is stupid.
Well, we should be discussing it because these are our Senate leaders right now. This is this is Chuck Schumer literally saying, want to fight inflation? Support the Build Back Better plan.
To me, this is just business as usual. When have they not done this? It's like they start these PR campaigns. They get us all excited because it's going to have paid family leave. It's going to have this. It's going to have this. And this is going to benefit you so much. And then the stuff that benefits us gets stripped away. It's a wet kiss to Wall Street. And so they're like, oh, no, people are starting to revolt. How can we sell this again? Oh, just tell them it's going to end inflation. OK,
well, both parties will be selling this. You know, the Republicans who didn't vote for the infrastructure plan are still going to go and cut the ribbon. With the big scissors.
Of course
they will. So let's not pretend.
And let's not pretend also, I mean, if something starts benefiting Mitch McConnell's district, you know, like he did during, remember, we reported it here a year ago when the stimulus package had rolled out that was passed by President Biden. It was having really good impact back home in Kentucky, and he voted against it. And yet he was there at that press conference saying, well, state got a lot of money, and these hospitals here got a lot of money. So it did benefit the state of Kentucky, and yet he was trying to take a victory lap for it.
Well, and he's like, I don't want to spend all this money. We're worried about the money. Oh, my wife just took a PPP loan.
Yeah, I don't like all the spending, but Elaine's doing pretty good. But you know,
well, okay, but I follow a lot of like entrepreneurial types of newsletters, you know, like the Wealthability Network and such. So Tom Wheelwright, he's been going on a diatribe, and it's great. The Wealthability podcast, I think, is really eye opening about how much Democrats think that we have a blank checkbook and that there's no need to pay any of it back and how it will have repercussions. But if you have a business and you can claim loss in any one of these quarters, you're eligible for basically free government money. You know, business school will teach you that if there's a tax friendly way of getting money, you should absolutely do it. So I'm not against someone who can prove eligibility from taking a loan, even if you're against government spending. I don't have a problem with that. Well, do you want to tell me why you have a problem with
that? No, I mean, we've already been down this road rabbit hole about Elaine Chao and
if you're in the government or a spouse of the government, you shouldn't be able to take advantage of any of these government programs because they obviously don't need the money.
Yeah. I mean, getting hundreds of thousands of dollars. They actually gave it back because they said it was a mistake. And you had a lot of these big companies that were basically saying they were small businesses and then they were taking these loans and giving them back.
Okay, yes. You're right. The spousal privilege is a problem, but it...
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, rabbit hole. But yes, I do want to say, you know, the average Americans right now are seeing a huge spike in... You know, a huge spike in costs across the board. Gas prices are going to continue to go up. Gas prices are probably going to go up an additional 10 or even 12%. So we're seeing gas prices. We're seeing home heating bills, which we've just started now to turn on the heat for a lot of Americans, right? In some states, not yet, but some others they're looking at me going, Clayton, we've had the heating on for about a month now. You know, that's going up. The cost of everything is going up. But again, this has nothing to do with an infrastructure bill or a stimulus. But if you watch like mainstream media, you watch like MSNBC, they think that you're fine with this. They think that you're not going to pay it doesn't really matter because you've just got plenty of money in the bank. Watch how these corporate Wall Street news anchors think about you as average Americans. Watch.
And the dirty little secret here, Willie, while nobody likes to pay more, on average, we have the money to do so. Household savings hit a record high over the pandemic. We didn't really have anywhere to go out and spend. And as we said a moment ago, we're expecting retail sales this holiday season to break records. For those who own their homes, the value of our homes are up. And while the stock market isn't the economy, you got over half of American households with some investment in the markets, and the markets have hit record highs. So we need to put all of this in perspective. This time last year, when you and I were talking, Willie, nobody had a vaccine. Now 200 million Americans do, and we're seeing this push of demand, and that's pushing up pricing.
Yeah, man. You guys,
you're fine.
You're fine. I love the beginning of this.
And the dirty little secret here, Willie.
This is a dirty little secret. I hope everyone paying attention to this. This is a dirty little secret.
Well, now, nobody likes to pay more. On average, we have the money to do so.
We have money. You guys don't even worry about it.
How many of you don't have money, you have credit cards. Right.
Yeah.
That's what you have. It's like that.
What did you say, David? I'm sorry.
Well, I just was asking chat. How many of you in chat have created a savings during the pandemic?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're fine.
Like, yeah, bring it on. Bring on the inflation.
How many of you really want and can pay more for heating your house?
It's a dirty little secret. It's a dirty little secret that you guys have. Don't worry about it. You have all this extra money laying around and inflation. First of all, I love how out of touch these people are. Think about this. So just because Wall Street is doing well, that means that you're doing well. Just because some of your stocks in your portfolio are doing well, how does that translate to cash in your pocket? And how does that translate to the cost of your Triscuits going down?
I think what she's saying is that consumer spending is still up.
Yes,
the,
it is.
The volume of spending continues to raise, even though the price of things continue to raise. And that is not a normal occurrence, right?
Well, it is because people need to eat. So they're going to have to still pay for their
heating.
It's
still luxury goods that are selling. It's still like a third pair of sneakers. Mm. It's still luxury bags. And so what she's saying is that there is overall more tolerance for spending, even though costs are going up, which is not what you would assume would happen in a normal law of supply and demand.
So she's fine. You know, she's totally fine. She's able to buy those extra handbags and do those extra
things.
Well,
we don't know. You don't need to be derisive, but
yes, I do.
It's like that 30 Rock episode where Avery becomes a news anchor in North Korea. And she's like, in other news, you've had enough to eat. That's the whole, like, she's telling you you're fine, so you must be fine.
Like, she's a news anchor for the North Korean.
The North Korean state, because she's been captured by Kim Jong-il.
Oh, that's right. Because.
And she's like, in other words.
You've only had
news.
One meal today. In other news, you've had enough to eat. You only need one meal. Don't worry about it. So again, that's where we are right now with Democrats trying to do the rebrand to fight inflation. But I should mention there are a number of stimulus checks that are now going to be sent out to Americans in 14 different states. So the states have basically said, you know what, we've had it with Congress. We're going to take matters into our own hands. Some of them have been sitting on large surpluses, California being one of them, and they are about to send out checks to Americans. So I'm going to go through a number of states here that are about to receive some good money in stimulus checks. $2,000, $1,000, depends on the state. Let's start with Arizona. Arizona, for out-of-work residents there, can take advantage of the state's back-to-work program, and they're eligible for $1,000 checks. And if you're returning to full-time work, you get an additional $2,000 bonus check if you're taking a job and going back to work. So the state's putting that out there. California also, a salary of $30,000 up to $75,000 per year. Qualified California residents will receive $600 and $1,100 for those children under the age of 18. Connecticut also is going to be getting checks, $1,000 in stimulus checks, started on May 20th or May 30th. They're going to continue it now through their back-to-work program through the end of this year. So that's good in Connecticut. Florida is also doing this, $1,000 stimulus checks going out, $1,000 stimulus in Georgia for teachers and principals. If you're an educator in Georgia, but they're not giving out anything else there. Idaho is giving out half a million residents there. 500,000 people are going to get a check of $248. They're giving a one-time income tax rebate, just as like a, hey, we know you're struggling kind of a thing. Maryland also is giving $300, and children, individuals get $300 checks, and children will receive $500 checks in the state of Maryland. Michigan is giving teachers a $500 stimulus bonus. New Hampshire is giving $1,000, $1,086 to families of three without any income, up to families of three without any income right now in New Hampshire. New Mexico giving out $750 checks. Ohio, $46 million worth of grant money is still available for students in Ohio that want to take advantage of that. Oklahoma has a $13 million federal funding program to pay student teachers in Oklahoma. Tennessee is giving $1,000 checks away and $500 for part-time public employees. And finally, Vermont is giving away, the state is covering moving expenses for people relocating to the state. So if you want to move to Vermont, they will give you $7,500 to cover your move into Vermont. This seems like a good time of the year to move to Vermont, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go pack up.
Yeah, $7,500 to move to Vermont. They're not giving a direct payout, but they will reimburse you for anyone who, and you have to be moving there if you work in the hospitality or construction industry, because they need
construction
workers.
Imagine that red tape. Oh, you're a construction worker, but you didn't bring your own hammer. Sorry, you didn't read the fine print.
Yeah. And Samantha says the Chickasaw Nation, Chickasaw? Yeah, Chickasaw Nation is giving $2,000 to Chickasaw citizens. So there you go. So that's a roundup of the, now these are all the states. We're still waiting to see if there's going to be some additional stimulus check in this Build Back Better program above and beyond the family tax credit. There has been discussion about that. So we'll see if that makes its way in there. But ports are loosening up right now. The Los Angeles port has been open. So we've had about 16 days now of like lessening of that. So things are getting back to normal, and there's going to be less and less likelihood that Congress is going to have an appetite to want to spend a whole lot more money.
I'm actually shocked that all this economy stuff and all this hasn't been blamed on Russia yet.
It's getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it's teetering on that.
Yeah. We saw like this, the other day there was a Russia story. There's always a Russia story, like once every few days, like Russia shot a satellite out of space, and now there's space debris all over space. And
they made a mess in space, and the astronauts had to dive away from it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks to the Russians.
Yeah, we are the only ones that can trash space. Come on.
Right. We have our space junk up there. We've got more news to get to here on the show. We're going to talk about Boeing and this amazing story about this company. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the Vatican stealing millions of dollars. All of that and more. But first,
we're going to tell you about our show sponsor over at IPVanish. Do you ever feel like you're being followed around on the internet? You probably are. You can protect yourself with a VPN. That's a virtual private network. We want to tell you about one that we like a whole lot called IPVanish. This is a company that is here to help you take back your privacy and reclaim your anonymity on the internet. A virtual private network, or a VPN, is an important tool that helps you safely browse the internet on any connected device, your computer, tablet, phone, even things like your Fire Stick or your Apple TV. You can use VPNs on whatever it is you connect with. And this is important because what you do on the internet is no one's business but yours. Listeners of the show can get a 65% off their annual plan of IPVanish. That's equal to 6 months free. A VPN, some people think like, oh yeah, I'd like one of those. And then they're kind of shocked to learn that they cost money. It's an important tool, though, for you to use while you are surfing the internet, and this is a really good price. IPVanish is super easy to use. You just turn it on with the click of a button, and it runs seamlessly in the background, so you don't know that it's there, but it is there acting like a ninja, getting people to get away from you, not track you on the internet. If you do run into problems, they have great customer support 24/7 by email, chat, and telephone. So if you go to ipvanish.com/invest, claim your 65% savings. That's just $44.99 for the first year with this exclusive discount. It's a really good price. This is the time to sign up. It also makes for a nice gift because you don't have to wait for it to ship. And it's an eco-friendly gift. And it's an experience gift. Here you go. A year of free safe web browsing for you. With our discount and this current promotion, you get 65% off. I mentioned that already. IPVanish is the best, even rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot with more than 6,000 reviews. Remember, it's ipvanish.com/invest to get this deal and start protecting yourself online.
All right, let's move along.
Okay, so a new book out about Boeing is very explosive. Mm-hmm. It is accusing the company of cutting costs as it expands and not taking care of known issues. The book comes out on the 30th of November. It's called Flying Blind, The 737 MAX Tragedy and the Fall of Boeing. It's by an author named Peter Robinson. I have marked it on my Goodreads. If you would like to read it with me, it's Natalie Morris on Goodreads. Let's do that. I appreciate very much all of the Goodreads friends that I'm getting requested from the show. And I love seeing what you're reading, too. This is not a feel-good book. This book exposes is the word that I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. Exposes Boeing for, as they have been growing for more and more orders, as they continue to be the Wall Street darling, they have been cutting costs on simulation training, on training pilots, on software simulations, and it has in fact resulted in death. More specifically, the one it starts out with is the Lion Air, right, flight?
Right.
I'll look it up while you take it from here.
Yeah. So for some context here, obviously there were two massive tragedies that could have been prevented, we now know. And this piece by Peter Robinson in Bloomberg, if you want to just read an excerpt basically of the book, go to Bloomberg and read this amazing piece by Peter Robinson. Again, it's called Boeing Built an Unsafe Plane and Blamed the Pilots When It Crashed. Cost cutting, corporate arrogance, and a new plane that was supposed to be easy to fly. An exclusive excerpt from Flying Blind, The 737 MAX Tragedy and the Fall of Boeing. Cost cutting. Interesting in this piece is that Boeing used to be a company that like used to give the middle finger to Wall Street. Like the engineers at Boeing were like, screw you, Wall Street. We're going to make the best aircraft that we can. And we don't care about the extra costs that are going to go into this. It might hurt our share price, but screw you. And then all of that changed under new management a number of years ago. Now, all of that cost cutting took hold and actually affected the production of the planes, the lack of training for the pilots on these new systems, and deaths as a result of it. Airplane crashes that killed people.
To be clear, it's probably only on the population. I bet the military side didn't suffer.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, the massive this is another important point, like the massive military contracts that Boeing gets, right? So U.S. taxpayers subsidize this company to the tune of billions of dollars a year to Boeing, to all of those guys, Lockheed Martin, to on and on and on, right? So yes, taxpayers foot the bill for this, And we are basically funneling money to a company that has been putting profits over people and resulting in these airline crashes. Now, just for some context here, let me play a clip from when this all started.
A best-selling plane is coming under increased scrutiny after another deadly accident.
We'll do everything possible to earn and re-earn that trust and confidence from our customers and the flying public in the weeks and months ahead.
Boeing is an American icon, revered around the world for its engineering innovation. But with two crashes in under 6 months, critics have asked if Boeing is straying from its original mission.
And the answer is yes. So according to Peter Robinson's piece, this 737 MAX tragedy could have been prevented. Now, there were systems in place inside that were during the simulations that were causing problems. And this even came up through text messages. This was showing up from pilots who were reporting in the simulations that they were having trouble with these aircraft. Take a look at these text messages. It's running rampant in the sim. I don't know what's happening here. Oh, just get used to it. That's fine. The plane is trimming itself like crazy.
Like, so specifically, there was a sensor on the wing that couldn't speak correctly to this software, and it was a known issue. And when they actually became aware of it, it was made known that they could have run simulations on this problem, and either the pilot would have known what was causing it, and maybe you could override it, or I don't understand the aviation completely, but it does seem to suggest that they could have run simulations on this in their training, but they also did not want to train pilots to go up to this upgraded plane from the 737 to the 737 MAX.
Because,
right?
You know why? Because it costs money.
Because it's expensive.
It's expensive for them to train these pilots. So they just basically didn't train them.
So they opted not to. And that it became sort of a joke inside of Boeing. Like, what's the racial epithet? I don't have that specific article up. Like, can, you know, some like sing-song Asian name, can he handle it or something? It was like, I don't want to make one up because then I'll be worse than that.
You're talking about...
Can the something-something handle it? I'm sorry, I don't have the article.
Oh, here it is. Okay. So there was another reason for the reluctance to admit the design had fallen short, one involving race and nationality, not cost. The empathy Boeing's aviators might have had for a pilot who looked like them wasn't being extended to Sunja and Harvino, the pilots of the Indian Air Flight, or the Lion Air. Conversations at Boeing kept focusing on how Harvino, once he took over the controls, hadn't been able to trim the plane properly with the thumb switch. Boeing's pilots, predominantly older white men, had long shared private jokes about the incompetent crews they ran into overseas. They said, "They're too dumb to spell 737. Was a frequent one that pilots used to joke about. Another trainer would ask rhetorically if Chung Fo Ho could handle a given procedure. So
that's it. I was not going to make that up. So, yeah.
Maria Bartiromo interviewed Dennis Muhlenberger, the former Boeing CEO, and you know she wanted to ask him about these specific sensors on the flight. She says, you know, what happened? And he basically blamed the pilots. The airplane has the ability to handle a bad sensor like the one suspected in the Indonesian crash, he said. In fact, Boeing had already issued a bulletin pointing pilots to existing flight procedures. So basically blaming the pilots for this.
Now, the author of the book was able to listen into the black box, and you can hear that the pilot does call for help and says, can you please get an expert of this, an engineer of this plane on, because I cannot correct it. So obviously it's not, this pilot was not trained for this and asked for the appropriate help. And you can hear them like looking through the manual, like, why is this happening? This does not inspire confidence for those of us who are travelers.
Well, and also investors, like if you have a 401k, there's a good chance that you have Boeing stock, you know, and here's a company that lied about it. Here's a company that knew that it had problems, put profits over people, made a boatload of money off of these new aircraft, and people died, and they covered it up and lied about it, according to Peter Robinson's reporting.
Now, when these things happen, then all of a sudden the Justice Department goes, oh, we're going to sue them for fraud then, or, oh, okay, we need to get involved, right? So, but no one has done that yet. Even if you can prove fraud inside a boardroom, that's usually when a story comes up and gets on the radar of some kind of court system, but we don't have anything like that.
Yeah, and it's going to be
another
fraud,
scary thing to think.
Negligence.
Or negligence,
yeah,
or another, right?
Yeah, And another scary thing to think is that, you know, these companies are constantly doing risk mitigation. And at some point, they probably decided that it was the risk was more not to pay for it and take the chance of people dying and filing lawsuits than training these pilots.
Right. It's like what McDonald's does, right, in the past with not paying higher wages. They know that, yes, it sucks that they're going to have to train a new person on the grill, but that cost of having to train the new person on the grill outweighs the fact that they just lost another, like the turnover to pay or keep these lower wages. It makes more sense for them to pay the training than it does for them to raise wages and keep employee retention. Like they do all these tests. And so, yeah, exactly. They knew internally that to train all of these pilots to get them up to speed on these sensors would be way too expensive, and they didn't. And because they were now run by Wall Street elites, that was their main focus: profits over people. And they didn't have the proper training in place for this MACs, which was the sensor part of the manual. In fact, when Maria Bartiromo pushed Muhlenberger on this question, Bartiromo pressed, but was the information available to the pilots, these sensors? Yeah, that's part of the training manual. It's an existing procedure, he said. She said, oh, I see. But in fact, MACs weren't in the manual at all, unless you counted the glossary, which defined the term but didn't explain what the software did.
Helpful.
So you just blame your pilots, even though you didn't give them the information to know what this thing was, how to trim it properly. So these things shouldn't have been flown. These things shouldn't have been allowed to carry passengers. And, you know, look, the federal government is also complicit in this, right? Is that they just look the other way. They fast track these planes. Yes. They get them out there. You have all these lobbyists involved in this process. There's money being changing hands with politicians.
Yes, but this is an international problem because after this happened, the European Union banned these planes from its airspace for a while. And so it's not just the United States federal government that signs off on the plane. The countries where these planes fly also have to do their own due diligence and didn't know. So where does that come from? It raises a whole other bag of questions.
It's amazing. I mean, if you just, I would encourage all of you to read this article. It is just jaw dropping. And then decide if you want to read the book. I'm definitely going to read the book. One thing that stood out to me was just like one little anecdote. The plane was still new to the pilots, and few had flown it much or done little more than a cursory training on an iPad. All they used was an iPad to fly this massive plane over international waters. It's amazing. Like you're just using an iPad training software. You're not even using the actual aircraft to do the training on or actual proper simulation to do it.
Well, anyway, and I can just imagine how great their app was.
Yeah. It's an excellent app. The 737 MAX tragedy and the fall of Boeing. I'd love to have Peter Robinson on the show. Peter, if you're watching the show, I'll send you a message. DM me on Twitter. I'd love to have Peter Robinson on the show to talk about this reporting.
Well, we've been following the Catholic trial. We wrote about it in the newsletter when the trial first began. It is a shocker in the Catholic Church for several reasons. One, it involves a whole lot of money. And where does the Catholic Church get that money? Mostly from donations from its patrons, members, I guess is what you'd use for members of the Catholic Church.
Clergy?
A clergy is a official inside church. Yeah. You're not a clergy if you're just a church goer. You're a member.
They're
of
parishioners.
The church. Parishioners. Yes. Better. Yeah. So yes, there's that. There's the amount of money. There's where that money comes from. There's also the fact that the top cardinal who is being blamed for this was sort of a right-hand man of the Pope, and he has lost his privilege as someone from the inner circle because the Pope stripped him of his titles in order to be tried in this way. And so it is surprising. There are a couple of things that are surprising about this beyond that. One is just that the Pope has said, we need to get to the bottom of this because we can't have this dirty business inside the Catholic Church. It looks bad on us. And this is a new era of making sure that we're transparent and that people trust us. But it's full of all kinds of just really fuzzy details.
Right.
It had to do with the Catholic Church investing in a building in London through a fund that was very, I'm going to use an English word since we're talking about an English business. It's dodgy. Do you like that?
It's very dodgy.
It was a dodgy setup. So the church was investing through a company behind a company behind a company. It was not at all transparent. They invested in a building that was sold for one amount and then sold to the Catholic Church for a largely inflated amount. Some are saying that the church only got upset because of the loss, but then the character that came in to help mitigate that loss was also dodgy. It is a really strange.
Yeah, it's labyrinthine. Like if you could think of like a labyrinth, I'll try to do my best broadcast, not dumbing it down, but to try to make sense of this. All right, so you
I think I just did that. You don't like how I did
no.
that?
So you have... So you have the Pope over here, right?
You're hurting my feelings.
He's got his right-hand man, his cardinal, right? His cardinal. And for the first time in 300 years, a cardinal is on trial for corruption. 300 years. They just don't like to try their own people. Anyway, so once a year, the church calls on its parishioners to give the church money, right, in donations. That money was supposed to go to the poor. That money was supposed to go to help church donations and to help the poor. Instead, this guy, the cardinal, and a group of Vatican mystery men took that money and invested it in this property in London for $100 million. They took charity money. And I don't understand how they thought this wasn't going to be found out.
It wasn't $100 million. It was the building was bought for $129 million and then sold to the Vatican for almost twice that much. And then the value of the building was never really that much. And the Vatican will lose that much. Now, through these funds, the Vatican was also investing in what you might call strange things. For instance, the Elton John movie.
Was
in that fund. Also, the Men in Black series. They were investing in those films. I don't think they actually lost money on those films, but also why?
They did lose money on the Elton John movie. There was one movie they lost a lot of money on.
Okay.
I think it was either the Elton John or the Men in Black.
Men in Black, because that movie didn't do well.
Okay, then the Men in Black movie they lost money on. But then we were all like, wait a minute, the Vatican invests in movies?
Right.
Like, and movies about aliens? And
did you
Elton John?
See the interview with the Cardinal? They're like, hey, what's going on with us? I lost money. He's like, yeah, forget about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he looks like that too.
He does.
Cardinal, let me see if I can pronounce his name right. Cardinal Beccucci.
Cardinal Guido Sarducci.
Cardinal
Beccio.
Let me see if I can. Anyway, Cardinal Beccio. Anyone in the chat know how to pronounce his name? Cardinal Giovanni Angelo Beccio. But he was like basically the Pope's chief of staff.
You know, the main Vatican reporter on this story, he said, you know, a lot of times the saying is in the Catholic Church, it's not who you know, it's what you know about who you know. Because it really is one of those nosa casa, casa nosa.
Casa nostro, right? Casa nostro?
I don't know.
Casa
nostro. I think it is. Casa I did not pull
casa,
that off.
It's nice. The mafia, right? Casa no. Yeah.
It's the, isn't it a Godfather saying? La casa nosa.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mafia thing. I forget. Yeah, la cosa nostro. It's like to keep quiet. If you're in the know,
exactly
you keep quiet,
that.
Right?
You don't need to know. We put some money over here. We put some money over there. Forget about it.
We'll put it over here. We'll put it over there. We invested in this random building in London. By the way, I have to ask, though, as a real estate investor during one of the hottest real estate markets we've ever seen, and by the way, in London, where property values have skyrocketed over the past few years, how did you screw this one up? How did you literally lose $100 million on a property purchase in London of all places?
It's to do with when it actually went into the Vatican's LLC, this sort of blind, dodgy LLC, the price was suddenly inflated for them to. Now, you have to remember these come from dollars that come from parishioners who have faith in the Catholic Church to do good in the world, right?
Right.
And so they cannot have something like this and then people think, well, I'm not going to donate anymore. Because I don't know where this money goes.
Yeah. You're trying to clean up your image. You know, you're trying to clean up your image. You've got how many sexual abuse scandals that you have, right? And then on top of this, one day a year, you call on your parishioners to donate money. This money is going to go to help poor people.
And also, make a mistake, the Vatican City is the richest city in the world.
Yeah. Well, it's the richest country in the world, right? Because the Vatican City is its own country, right?
Yeah.
It's also the smallest country in the world. And the amount of hidden riches and archives and gold that sits underneath in the catacombs of the Vatican are astonishing. There's all sorts. You want to go down to some deep-seated conspiracy theory rabbit holes there.
Yes, I know that. I read Dan Brown, too. Anita Dan points out that it's Casa Nostra. Thank you.
Casa Nostra.
Yes. And I also will point out that the Catholic Church priest scandal is not unique to the Catholic Church. The media likes to spin it as it is only for the Catholic Church, but I was a researcher on the book The Culture of Fear, and that was my research project, and I will point out to you that this is not just a Catholic problem.
Okay, then what other problems are there?
It's a human problem.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the reason the media likes to spin this specifically as a Catholic problem is because it fits into the narrative of celibacy being linked to sexual abuse, and that's not necessarily a case. It has to, because as we know, most sexual abuse has to do with power. It doesn't necessarily have to do with depravity, right? It's not because they're so, like, sexually frustrated. It's because it's an abuse of power, and this happens in other churches and religions too.
Oh, interesting.
So I just thought I would point that out because I don't want to be guilty of spinning fear about specifically Catholicism and sexual abuse, although the Catholic Church has had its own Nostra Casa policy that
Cosa
even
Nostra.
Cosa Nostra, that it does, even though it happens, they do not hand it over to local authority and we don't talk about it and we reposition people. I am not at all excusing the Catholic Church of this, but I do want to make sure that we note that this has to do with a power imbalance for other Makes religions
sense.
Too.
Makes sense. I mean, we've seen it in the Boy Scouts. So it's not just churches, right? We've seen it.
Yes, absolutely true.
So to wrap this up, I mean, you know, the case right now has multi-millions of pounds in this investment, in this luxury property development. Why is it there? How did the money get taken? How much does the Pope know? After all, this was his best friend.
Yes.
You know, this cardinal is his chief of staff. So where does this end? How high does this go inside the Vatican? And, you know, why were these hundreds of millions of dollars in Catholic charitable funds held in Swiss banks? You know, like hidden in these like Swiss bank accounts.
Yes.
Okay. He says he didn't do anything wrong.
Did you see the picture of the Pope kissing him on the lips?
No, really?
No.
Is it a real picture?
No, like the Godfather, you know? Like
Oh, yeah.
Or kissing the ring.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to move on and talk about palm oil. But first, Clayton is going to tell you about our show sponsor.
I am super excited. I am super excited to talk about our show sponsors today, our friends at Coinbase. So get this. We were on vacation. I know I shouldn't have been doing this, but we were. And every time Natalie was like looking over at me, she's like, what are you doing? Are you managing a trade right now? Are you buying coins? You buying a crypto? What are you doing right now? I'm like, and I had my Coinbase account open throughout our trip. Did I not?
Yes.
Yes, I did. So I'll be honest with you. Coinbase is where all of my investing in crypto starts. It all starts with Coinbase. And if you're thinking about getting into cryptocurrency, Coinbase is the place to go because they spent just a ton of time, energy, and attention on making sure that they had the most secure crypto wallet and experience possible for investors who were about to jump into this. So if you're not familiar with Coinbase, buckle up. Let me just tell you a little bit about what they do. Coinbase offers a trusted and easy-to-use platform to buy and sell and spend cryptocurrency. They support the most popular digital currencies on the market, and they make them accessible to everyone. They offer portfolio management, protection, learning resources. I love their learning resources. They have all sorts of things inside their app that teach you about the coins you're investing in. They have a great mobile app so you can trade securely and monitor your crypto all in one place. Millions of people in over 100 countries use Coinbase, and they trust them with their digital assets. So whether you're looking to diversify, just getting started, or searching for a better way to access crypto markets, start today with Coinbase. You know, if you've been following cryptocurrency for a while and you just want to jump in, now is the time to get involved. Coinbase makes it quick and easy to start your own portfolio and to learn to trade like a pro. And guess what? You're going to get free $10 in Bitcoin. You want $10 in Bitcoin? Of course you do. For a limited time, new users can get $10 in free Bitcoin when you sign up today at coinbase.com/invest. You have to use that URL, otherwise you don't get the free Bitcoin. So sign up at coinbase.com/invest for $10 in free Bitcoin. This is this offer is for a limited time only, so be sure to sign up today. That's coinbase.com/invest. Manage your portfolio and handle everything right inside of Coinbase. I'm super excited that they are sponsoring the show.
Okay, yesterday we promised to talk about palm oil, and we didn't do that because I rushed out to take my daughter to the orthodontist. Mm-hmm. We hit up against a time, and I apologize for that, but I am here now because I would like to discuss this new research from the Barcelona Institute of Science and Technology, which has shown that there is a link between palm oil and the spread of cancer. Now, palm oil is something that I like to rail about a lot on this show mm-hmm. because it's anxietizing. Palm oil is responsible for a lot of deforestation, specifically in Brazil. They like to clear out the rainforest and plant more palm oil in order to put it in more processed foods. It's in everything from the more popular peanut butters, Nutella, and spreads kind of like that. Most things with a jar have palm oil.
And they kill monkeys.
Yes, it absolutely displaces the homes of a lot of wildlife. It's awful. Now, not only we have an inkling that it's bad, not only for the environment, but also bad for the human body. It has been linked to mouth cancers in mice. Now, these mice already had these cancerous pieces inside of them. And when they were fed palm oil versus other types of oil, such as flaxseed, the cancer did spread in the mice that were exposed to it. So, you know, palm oil also is in those meatless patties that are really popular, like the Beyond Burger and the, what's the other one that's really popular?
Impossible Burger.
Yeah. And it's bad stuff, you guys. So
look at the clear cutting of these forests too, like to, you know,
Now people who eat these things like to say, well, you know, the production of meat is worse. So, you know, they feel like they are putting it on a scale of 1 to 0. I don't want to get into that debate, but you can absolutely buy nut butters that don't have palm oil. You can absolutely find products that don't have it. And so I am just going to encourage you to read the labels and try to avoid that stuff if possible. And also write to your local legislation and say that you don't support these types of products in consumer products.
You know, there's actually quite a few meat production companies now that are actually carbon neutral. And some of them have actually changed so much so that they're now carbon negative.
Yes.
So there's quite a bit. If you want to actually dive into some of this research, you know, the mainstream media will tell you that that eating meat, you know, and then meat production is the reason that we have this massive climate change. And there are absolutely direct links to massive meat production and the destruction yes. of our environment. However, there's quite a few meat producers that are actually carbon neutral and carbon negative yes. in their production of meat. So, you know, just don't follow the herd when you're listening to some of these reports.
Does that mean that they actually are putting back in, or is it something like, it's not like the equivalent of a carbon offset credits, right? This is legit.
Right. Because it's totally legit. There's a couple of companies. One eludes me at the moment. I was trying to look up the name of it. It's a California company that is carbon negative in their production of meat. So they're actually putting back into the resources in such a way that actually helps the environment. And you may ask yourself that, here's a good article about it from BMPA, carbon neutral beef and sheep production. Is that possible? And yes, it is. According to a number of different companies, a number of different emissions studies right now, that you basically, this is big news. It demonstrates that predominantly grass-fed livestock systems like those in New Zealand, the UK, and Ireland have very different carbon footprints than those that rely on clearing rainforests. So it proves that not all beef and lamb production are equivalent. The same goes through other animals as well. But again, making sure you're not clear-cutting forests like they're doing with the palm oil production throughout Central
yes,
America.
Yes, and the thing is that people think they're getting a healthier product by not choosing a hamburger and instead choosing this meatless alternative, and that may not be the case, actually.
What are some common names, like a brands, that people should look out for?
Specifically that have palm oil? Yeah. Nutella is a big one. And I believe in most consumer, like the sort of more popular peanut butters have them, like Jif and Skippy. I'm pretty sure do. I'm not sure. I haven't bought those brands in so long.
Is canola, is that that's not palm, is it?
No, canola is usually a vegetable oil.
Okay. Here are some companies that you should avoid, brands and companies that use palm oil. This comes from ethicalconsumer.org. They say these are the worst rating for the use of palm oil, these companies. It doesn't mean that all their brands contain palm oil, but if you want to avoid companies that contribute to the palm oil problem, then it's worth avoiding their brands altogether. Margarine and spreads, like any of the margarine and spreads, Cavalli, Kerry Group, Fortis Foods, these, I don't recognize these.
Yes, it's in breads, it's in cereals. I recently bought what I thought was a plant-based butter, and I got it home and I was like, palm oil. I was like, I'm not going to use this. And I made a mistake when I purchased it. But a lot of times these plant-based alternatives are filled with palm oil.
Yeah.
Well, if you go up and look at the palm plant things itself, it looks like they look like coronaviruses.
Yes.
Fast food places, Domino's Pizza, Yo Sushi. Oh no, our kids love Yo Sushi.
Yeah, they
Burger
do.
Burger King, Yum Brands, which include Pizza Hut and KFC, Itsu, Subway, Greg's, and Pret a Manger out of London. They're all over New York City. Here's a bunch of restaurants that use palm oil. Oaxaca, TGI Fridays, and you can see the rest of Pizza Express.
Palm oil, it's like a lubricant. It allows the products to be just a little bit softer and spreadier. So whenever you have a product that's softy and spready,
yeah,
be on the lookout.
Soft and spreadable.
Well, unfortunately, I've not seen anything that I use or eat on there yet.
Me either. Yeah, I'm glad. That's good. Subway. I know you like to get the yoga mat Subway sandwich.
I get the tuna because I don't like tuna.
The fake tuna.
Yeah. The tuna, that was hilarious. Like the tuna sandwich is fake. It's not actual tuna. And what else was the problem at Subway? Oh, that they found out that the same materials, the chemicals that were in yoga mats
are in the bread.
Mm-hmm. It's like, what other crap can Subway put in their foods? They've got yoga mats.
And now it's laced with palm oil.
Now it's got palm oil in there.
Palm oil in the bread. It's no good.
And they forget, Jared.
And Jared. Yeah.
Jared.
I met him. I interviewed Jared. He brought with him to Philadelphia. I interviewed him in Philadelphia. And he brought his giant Jared pants. He travels with those things, like his giant Jared pants. He held them up. I didn't want to touch his pants.
No? Were they sealed or anything? Or they're just not?
No, he had them out. They were just like in a bag. He just held them up and they were huge. They were just massive pants.
Mm.
And then... now he's in prison for the rest of his life. I think he is, right?
Did he get to take those pants with him? Or just...
Is he in prison?
I think for the rest of his life after, sexually abusing young boys. To your point, it's not just the Catholic Church.
No.
Yeah, even Jared from Subway.
It's also Subway sandwich patrons.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about what's trending, and we'll wrap up today. This is the section where I search what's trending on Google and Twitter and across the internet and allow you to participate in our chat or by yourself on your own Twitter
feed.
This
is also the segment where Natalie can't find her camera.
Sorry. I don't know what to do with my hands. Okay. Hashtag No Way Home is trending because a new poster for the upcoming Spider-Man movie. No, this is yesterday's trending.
Yesterday. Yeah.
Also, there's a note in this shared document saying I need to go pick up Ava. I was writing notes to Clayton. I was like, where'd this come from? Sorry, we talked about that. We're going to still talk about Spider-Man, though. Okay, Tobey Maguire is trending because he is not in the new Spider-Man Far From Home trailer, and people are pissed about this. There are a lot of classic villains, though, and I will say no more because Clayton likes to watch it with our son.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm getting torn about trailers lately. Let me, crowd, everyone who's watching right now, where do you come down on trailers? I feel like back in the day when trailers were really good, they didn't give away a lot of plot points in movies, right? They didn't give away some of the most actionable, awesome scenes in movies.
Or if you're DC, the trailers have more of a plot than the actual movie.
Right, that's true. Yeah, yes. I mean, yeah, Justice League looked better than it actually was in the theater. But like, for instance, James Bond, right? So the new James Bond movie, we were waiting and waiting and waiting for. A lot of the best action sequences were in the trailer. like him in his awesome car, like doing the spin move with the machine gun.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I was like, that would have been an awesome thing to see in the theater for the first time. And yet I saw it in the trailer 30 times. So like it's ruined for me.
I don't know. They keep teasing us with various subplots, though. So we're not exactly sure. What I do know, because I watched it, was I allowed to watch it without you and Miles?
You already watched it?
Okay. You didn't?
I didn't watch it yet.
I've seen it.
So I'm with you now.
Okay. Okay. Because Clayton, it's sweet, actually. He waits for our son to get home for them to watch it together. And then they're like, hi. High-fiving. Like, oh, Doc Ock. So it's very classic villain heavy. And there's a lot of Doctor Strange. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. So we saw the new poster that had Doctor Strange in it. So we know that obviously.
I totally understand them not showing any of those guys if they're going to be in it. Because, like, you can show the villains and get people excited, and you're not really, like, as excited as if you saw three different Spider-Men. Like, that's that's a tear jerking moment right there.
Okay, so you feel cheated by this?
No, I feel like it's fair.
It's fine. Yeah, to not show Tobey Maguire, to not show Andrew Garfield, to not show those guys in the trailer. Like, save that. Okay. Save that for the movie.
I mean, he's trending number two on Google. People are really like, there's typing in Tobey Maguire to make sure that they did not miss him. That's big. That's a lot of people. Like,
he's mad about it, or he doesn't care.
I don't know what he thinks about it, but I know what other people are. I'm sure he knows.
Rumble Gold, some super chats, says, yesterday's Spider-Man trailer was finally released, yes. And then Rumble Gold says, I personally love trailers that encourages my brain to theorize. Oh, that's a good, I like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
All right, I like that.
Yeah, okay. A lot of country names are trending with V's in the middle. For instance, Mexico versus Canada, Argentina versus Brazil. This is because World Cup qualifiers are on right now for the upcoming World Cup in Qatar. And I don't want to give away any scores, so I'm not going to say anything more about it. This was the Canada versus Mexico game. Look, it was in the snow.
They played in Canada outside.
I know. Why did they choose that? I don't know. Wow. But it's been a hot topic of conversation in our house because my mom's husband has been watching them like a super geeked out fanboy.
I have been too. So yeah, we got our cable box fixed and Glenn and I have been sitting down there watching. What did we watch last night? We watched the, I can't remember.
Memorable game, clearly.
So he watched like five. He had them written down and he's like, well, I've only watched five games today.
I'm going to print him then the brackets so he can keep. Okay. Anyway. Staples Center is trending because the Los Angeles Arena is changing its name to Crypto.com Arena. This will officially happen on Christmas Day. The word is that Crypto.com paid more than $700 million to rename the building over the next 10 or 20 years.
Oh, this is a gift. No,
is that the one in Portland? Where is that?
No, this is in Los Angeles. It's where the Los Angeles Lakers play. Along with a couple other
things. That's huge. So crypto.com is going to be...
It's no longer the Staples Center. It'll be the crypto.com center.
I guess that's good because who the heck goes to Staples anyway?
Right.
I go to Staples.
If we'd have known that, we should have got Morning Invest on there. The logo would fit perfectly.
Yes, yeah. It would. It would be perfect on there. But Staples, every time I've gone to a Staples, I feel like I need a shower afterwards because I'm always ripped off. Like everything is just way more expensive at a Staples.
It's true.
Do you notice that?
But things are a little too cheap. Like, should I be able to get a 5-cent pencil, or does a pencil cost a dollar to make? I don't know, you know?
Yeah, so you agree with Stephanie Ruhle.
Household savings hit a record high over the pandemic. We didn't really have anywhere to... And the dirty little secret here, Willie, while nobody likes to pay more, on average, we have the money to do so.
Yeah.
Okay, I just don't know if like
Staples. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm gonna reach out to Mitt Romney.
$55 to get my printer ink in like color and a black cartridge. $55
at Staples
seems like a lot, doesn't it? It's the dual cartridge though. But yeah,
you can buy like a printer for $55.
Good point.
Like, that's a complete ripoff. Absolutely, is a ripoff.
Okay. TikTok class action lawsuit settlement is trending because the owner of TikTok has offered a $92 million settlement over a case that alleged that they violated user privacy laws. Anyone who has been a user since last year can claim a piece of this settlement, but if every user does, it gives us all about one whole dollar. But if you'd like to join, the URL is TikTokDataPrivacySettlement.com. That will direct you to this page right here. If you want to join the TikTok class action lawsuit and get yourself a piece of this settlement. I will warn you, if you do that, you will waive your right to sue TikTok for anything in the future for one whole dollar. So think about that.
Well, at least now I can tell my friends I made money on TikTok. They didn't think it was possible.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Exactly. But you will have to pay taxes on that settlement of one whole dollar.
Oh, so that's, I'll be having about 30 cents left probably.
Then. Yes, exactly. Do what you want. But that's where you can go if you want in on that. Laura Ingraham is trending because she interviewed a commentator named Raymond Arroyo, and he was talking about the Netflix show You. And she kept thinking
Y-O-U.
He, yes, what well, you. And she kept thinking he was talking about her. The exchange was just too much fun. It's being called the modern day Who's On First. Do you have it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The politics and all those woke storylines in so many shows today. You know, I was watching an episode of You where measles came up.
Wait. When did I mention measles?
I don't know. It was on You.
What was on me? What are you talking about? Right? Is Raymond even hearing what I'm saying? I never had the measles.
What's on you?
We never did a measles and vaccine episode. Is this a joke?
I know.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
It was on you. It was on you.
I've never had, Raymond, I've never had measles. What are you talking about? This is stupid.
It was an episode of a show, Laura.
What's it called?
You!
You!
It's called You!
I've never done a show on measles. I just completely give up. We gotta get
it's
on.
It's a show I give up. Called You on Netflix.
There's a show called Loring on Netflix.
Oh my God.
What are you talking about?
I'm moving on to Adele. I can't explain this to
What's
you.
He
the pop
about?
Singer had an open.
So good.
Wow.
Everyone on Twitter loves this. They're calling this the modern day Who's On First.
That is amazing. Like, and he's so indignant. Like, I would have earlier in that conversation, I would have said, it's on you. No, not you, Laura. You, the show on Netflix.
He just couldn't. And he was so, it was great because normally when you're a commentator on a show, you defer to the host and you're kind of like sycophantic. Like, no, you get it. But this guy was like, you don't understand me. It was great.
You don't understand.
Yeah, that was
great. She's like, oh, there's a show on Netflix called Laura Ingraham. Oh my God.
Okay, so that's been trending and that's a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed that as much as we did.
Yeah, it's back to Staples Center. Like, I don't know. Like, it seems like so old, too. What if, is there like a Radio Shack Center somewhere, like as the name of a stadium?
Why are we going back to this?
I don't know. I just thought of it. I was just thinking about it.
The politics and all those woke storylines in so many shows today. You know, I was watching an episode of You, where measles came up.
At least you know she's listening.
When did I mention measles?
What happened to her lips?
I don't know. It was on You.
It's like a bronze lipstick. It's not flattering.
Oh my God.
It's the lighting and that they used bronze. Bronze lipstick is not back in, guys. Don't buy it.
Wow.
She was trying to match the gold necklace. I get it.
Perhaps.
All right, everyone. Hey, we have a new video that we just released on our channel. It is live right now. David, where can people find it?
I'm grabbing the link really quick, and I'm going to post it in chat.
Yeah, so it's on our channel right now, right here on Morning Invest. I want you to go and watch it because the markets have just opened. I did a whole video that we just published around this sector, which I think is going to explode thanks to the infrastructure and on retrofitting and clean energy in buildings. This is a big investment, and it's going to explode by upwards of $100 billion. And a big piece of the infrastructure bill is tied to this, sort of retrofitting old buildings so they're not wasting all kinds of energy on HVAC systems and everything else. So if you go to youtube.com/morninginvest while you're here right now, David's dropping the URL in the chat. What are you laughing about?
This comment from Kelly Burke saying there's palm oil on her lips.
It's grease.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
All right, I just pinned that link in chat.
All right, go watch that now. It's now live as the market opens. Don't miss this one because this one is going to explode, and I want to try to help you guys make some money. So even if it's just like $10 you're investing or $50 or whatever it is, Go check out this video right now so you don't miss the boat on this one before other people see it. So,
okay, do we have any super chats before we go?
All right, let me get over there.
I got a few from Rumple.
Yeah, I think we read those.
We talked about the Spider-Man ones, absolutely.
Supers. Okay. And we got a Deborah McGee with a super chat. And that's it. The two from Rumple and Deborah McGee.
Oh, thank you for those very much. And we had a few members I saw. Thank you for joining. Don't forget, we have a free newsletter, and it is over at morninginvest.com. We publish that every day to help you be a factoid too. And hopefully it keeps you entertained and informed. That is our intention for the newsletter and for the show.
Can I tell you that Reese's peanut butter cup pie?
Oh, yes.
In the newsletter. Oh. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's what I thought too. I saw it. I was like, no, I need that.
Sure that has palm oil.
I don't know. Don't just say that.
I'm going to
look, it up right now.
Okay.
Because if that, I'm going to be so upset if Reese's has palm oil in it. Like I wouldn't doubt it, but I'm also hopeful.
Okay. Give me a second.
Look through it.
Is please, there palm oil
please,
in it?
Cross your fingers, please.
Please.
It says there are versions with and without.
We're going to have to change the name to Grease's Peanut Butter Cup.
Children
in Antioch are given the wrong dose.
What's that? I saw that. David says that children in Antioch are given the wrong dose of the vaccine.
Yeah. Oh, they're given the adult version?
The 30 milligrams or whatever it is instead of the six.
Oh, goodness. Okay, I'm not sure at all about the pie with a palm oil, but read the label for yourself.
Yeah.
But in theory, I'm down with a Reese's
Pie. The only thing that I was wondering and curious about is, does it have some kind of crust or is it just chocolate straight through? Because it seems like that would be, you know, it would melt.
And it wouldn't cut nicely either. No. They'd have to have it in like pre-cut pieces as well. Yeah. So I am now starting to plan out Thanksgiving. I have to say I'm a bit cranky about it, but Clayton says he's going to help. So we'll see about that. I will report back. It's just, Thanksgiving, it's so much work.
We can hold him accountable.
Yes. What does that say? It says palm oil.
Yeah.
Well,
I told you. I hate to say I told you so, but I do like to say I told you so.
And corn syrup, because corn syrup's good for you. So don't even worry about that.
Yeah. Sugar.
Yeah. And what is a defatted peanut?
Well, there's those fat peanuts and then there's the defatted peanuts.
I don't know. We had intended to go back around on the Kyle Rittenhouse story because David and I were texting about it last night. And then also we had a tweet about it. We did not get a chance to do that today. The jury is still deliberating and we went over we just didn't have room for it in the show. But hopefully we will again because I appreciated the various comments that we got on it. And I still feel very conflicted about it. And I realize that it's a highly sensitive subject. And I just want to say I appreciate the comments much.
If it was cut and dry, if it was black and white, cut and dry, then no one would be talking about it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, David and I were texting about the video specifically where you do see people chasing him and I'm still and
hitting him with the skateboard.
Yeah. And I'm just still not sure, like, does a mob have a right to take down a person with a gun? But they all had illegal guns too. And I did not know that.
Yeah.
Before David and
I. That's the thing, like, it's made it hard for me too, and the fact that I still kind of like look at it like he's 17 and he's admitted he made a mistake, and so it's like, at the end of the day he's still kind of a kid,
and still very much a kid.
Yeah. And we make, when we're kids that age, like, we don't know if he's been indoctrinated by his parent, like, we don't know a lot of what's happened
to him. Also, Joy Reid is trending because she compared his man tears to Supreme Court Justice
Brett Kavanaugh's
man tears and said that there's something that we all care more about, white male tears. And this has evoked a lot of emotions on Twitter. And so I do feel like there is this effort to say, like, he's got white male privilege. Everyone's feeling sorry for him and they shouldn't. He was out for no good. There is this sort of lack of empathy for it, for him. But there's also this dangerous precedence that we cannot empower people to go out and take the law into their own hands. It's
and he admits that it was stupid that he did that, and he wishes that he wouldn't have, and he made a mistake, you know. But so that's not even what's on trial here. What's on trial is the murders, right? Not that he decided to leave his house and decided that I'm going to go join this, like, what's going on right now.
Right.
And so that's not on trial. What's on trial is the fact that two people were dead and somebody else was wounded. And
somebody else wounded also had an illegal gun pointed at him.
Right. So that's what's on trial, is that question in those moments and that self-defense. And that's,
you saw the video yesterday that I shared with you that showed how the media was spinning this. I mean, we've got people in the chat, and it's such a volatile thing because of the way the media spun it. A lot of people are buying only the way they heard it from the media and not the actual, you know, facts from the case and everything.
Like B says, he should have been home. I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. But that
he does still too has
he does too. But it doesn't, like, that has nothing to do technically with what is that on trial. What's on trial is these people, like, when they got into the scuffle and he's being hit in the head with a skateboard and he fires on this guy and he's laying on the ground as he fires on this guy. You know, is it self-defense under the law? Like, you know, it's easy to have emotion take over. But when you have to go in front of a judge and then walk through step by step, why, you know, and you're fighting the charges specifically that are brought against you in a court of law, like whether or not he was at home or not, that's not a part of this. Like what's a part of it is the actual shooting, the moments that happen when he's been shooting.
Yes. Right? Yes.
So,
and so, specifically what's on trial is whether or not he was acting out of self-defense. And you can't not claim self-defense if you have provoked people, right, violently. And so this video that specifically David and I were speaking about was Megyn Kelly saying that the mere carrying of a gun is not a violent provocation. And I just thought, oh my God, that's America. That you can carry around a gun and people should not feel like, no, that's all right. That's good. I'm just going to go my other way, right?
Well, but there's a difference between carrying a gun and provoking someone.
And carrying a gun at a highly charged emotional event, right?
But is that a provocation? Like, I guess this is what the jury will decide.
This is exactly the... And so I just wanted to come back around on this and say that I don't lack empathy for this child. I'm still going to call him a child. And I don't lack empathy for those of us who are still not clear on it. And I don't know. It's like it's turning my stomach. I think the way that I wanted to come across yesterday is that I'm scared about the precedence, but also conflicted about it. And I think that maybe is an appropriate emotion for all of us.
Yeah. Nothing makes sense, as someone in our chat says.
It is getting dangerous. I mean, like in Chicago, there was a shootout. A literal shootout with, I can't remember how many rounds they said were fired. It was a lot. And there was somebody murdered and some other people injured, and they didn't file charges because they said it was a mutual combat. So,
oh, that's good. That's okay now then.
Yeah. So that
mutual combat.
Yeah. Mutual combat.
So, why do we have a court system then? We don't need it.
Yeah.
If that's how we handle things.
Just a mutual. It was a duel.
Cool.
Yeah. Are duels still allowed?
No.
And this was on a street in Chicago, public street.
I mean, think about it. Alexander Hamilton was killed in a duel with
Aaron Burr.
Aaron Burr. I was about to say John Wilkes Booth with Aaron Burr, and Aaron Burr lived out the rest of his life, you know, in shame. But he didn't go to jail. Like it was like, yeah, we're fine.
Because it was everything is legal in New Jersey.
Got one shot.
Okay, everybody.
Not giving away my shot.
Well, I just wanted to say that I appreciate your comments on this and other things very much. And we will be here to speak with you, not to you, hopefully. That is our intention tomorrow.
Exactly. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. Really appreciate it. Don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter. We'll be back tomorrow. And don't forget to go watch that video. It's a pinned comment right here, right now on our chat. So go check out the pinned comment for our video on the stock that I think is going to surge thanks to the infrastructure stimulus. All right, everyone, we'll see you later.
I never had the measles.
What's on you?
We never did, We never did a measles and vaccine episode. Is this a joke?
I know. I don't even know what you're talking about. It was on you. It was on you.
I've never had measles. What are you talking about? This is stupid.
It was an episode of a show, Laura.
What's it called?
You.
What is
you.
It talking about?
It's called you.
I've never done a show on measles. I just completely give up. We gotta get
it's
on.
It's a show
I give up.
Called You on Netflix.
There's a show called Laura Ingraham on Netflix.
Never mind. I'm moving on to Adele. I can't explain this to you. The pop singer.
The crew must have been like, no.
See you tomorrow, everybody.
Bye.